This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
'74, Preview Show.
Hello and welcome to the 1874 preview show, a match preview for Aston Villa against Chelsea, Saturday, 8 o'clock kickoff. I've still got no idea why it is a Saturday, 8 o'clock kickoff. Maybe Dave knows. We'll find out in a minute. I'm your host, Dan Bardell, Andy Goldstein's best friend, joined by David Reid to discuss the game and all things Aston Villa as normal. Dave Reid, how are you on this fantastic Friday?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to the game this weekend. I don't actually know why it is an 8 o'clock kickoff. No, so someone I'm sure will be able to help us on that.
TNT never have two games on a Saturday, but yet they have this weekend. Because it's the end of the season, maybe, the run-in. I don't know. It's the only reason I can think of.
Yeah, possibly. Maybe they've got games from previous match rounds that they needed to rearrange and they've put on this date or something. I don't know. Well, it's probably
doesn't matter. It is what it is. Actually, yeah. I think it might play into Villa's hands, but we'll come on to that in a second because this show is sponsored by Luke Roper. If you want to get yourself some brand new Luke Roper gear, then if you use the code TVV20, then you'll get 20% off everything that Luke have to offer, including the lovely Chris Wokes range. Right, so I was just saying, Dave, I think it plays into Villa's hands slightly because I think it will improve the atmosphere. Saturday night game under the floodlights. Everyone will have been on the razz all day, let's face it. I won't have been personally, but, you know, most people will have been on the razz all day as well. I think it will improve the atmosphere. Villa are coming off the back of a really good spell, beating Arsenal, getting through the Conference League and into the semi-finals, and then beating Bournemouth last week, which I thought was our best home performance for a while now. So actually, Villa are coming into it with all these positives. Chelsea were unbeaten and then got humbled by Arsenal on Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember what day it was. I think it was Tuesday. They got humbled by Arsenal 5-0. So actually, all things considered, probably a good time for Villa, a good time to be playing Chelsea.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the 8 o'clock kickoff on the Saturday, it's not usually my favourite kickoff time. You know, a Saturday night really probably, I think if we're all honest, shouldn't really be for Premier League football. I think, you know, it should be for people to have their own Saturday night after the football. But on this occasion,
could be ideal, Dave. You said you were looking after your nephew this weekend. Could be a tiring one for you. Kids wear you out. You know,
very much so.
you're just ready to sit down. The nephew might be in bed. If it had been earlier, you might not have been able to watch it. So, you know, all things considered, could be a good kickoff time for Dave, really.
This could well be playing into my hands, and unfortunately I won't be therefore on the Raz for the whole day in the build up to it. But there you go. No,
wouldn't be responsible.
But it should be a great atmosphere, and the club have asked people to, you know, come down and welcome the team on Saturday evening. And really, I thought what the supporters did last weekend against Bournemouth was fantastic. I love seeing those pictures of the team bus and the smile on the players' faces when they're getting off the coach. And I think it just starts match day for everybody. It starts you know, I think it certainly refocuses players when they've got that support and that, you know, atmosphere around them before they've even got into the ground. So, yeah, should be a great atmosphere Saturday night, hoping for. And I thought the atmosphere against Bournemouth was great as well.
Yeah, I guess the big news for Villa Emery in his press conference today is, of course, that we know Douglas Luiz will return from his 2-game ban. Incredible, really, that Villa have won both those games without the player that may win player of the season. I think he probably was the favourite, but I don't think he is now, but he'd be right up there as a contender with his output this season. Does he get straight back in? what's Dave Reid's hot take this week?
Yes, he does go straight back in, but I think whoever misses out is going to feel very unfortunate. And, you know, these are the tough decisions that Unai Emery really hasn't had to make over the last month or two. Because
I wouldn't want to be him in this situation. This is a tough decision.
It is. And it's simply been the injuries and the suspensions and the number of players that have been available to him have meant that almost the team has picked itself for the last couple of months. So this is the first time really where I'm thinking, oh, there's a real proper decision to make here between established players and senior players as to who's going to start. You know, I think Douglas Luiz has to come back in simply because he's one of the most gifted players that Villa have. And, you know, it certainly... I wouldn't want to make that decision. Let's put it that way. I wouldn't want to make that decision. I think it'll probably be Tielemans and Luiz in midfield, and then McGinn will again shift out to one of the wide midfield positions, I would think. That's my guess anyway.
You see, I think the same as you. I think it'll be Tielemans and Luiz in central midfield, but McGinn is the support striker. Off Watkins is my thought, and then Bailey on the right and Rodgers on the left. So I think it's Diaby that he seems to be the main full guy, doesn't he, at the moment, which is amazing for your club record signing, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he will feel very unfortunate. I think the only question mark would be over whether McGinn plays from the right-hand side, just depending on Leon Bailey's fitness. But I think if Bailey's totally 100%, he will start. And then it'll be a kind of, you know, I've quite liked Morgan Rodgers when he's played off Watkins. And, you know, I've also really liked him when he's played out wide. You know, I wonder whether McGinn might be tasked with helping out kind of defensively from the wide midfielders of Chelsea. And maybe, you know, if there's one area that Morgan Rodgers would probably like to improve on, or certainly improve his game on, it would be the defensive side of it. But then again, he showed fantastic, you know, development over the last few weeks, in particular Morgan Rodgers. So if he starts on the left, I wouldn't have any particular worries over that.
No, it's a good position to be in, to be able to leave out a star man, I guess, because we, like you say, we haven't had that luxury over the last few weeks. My problem with Diaby coming out is that it's happened a few times already. I just feel like he's started to get his rhythm and his confidence back, and I worry that, you know, coming out again, what that might do to his frame of mind. That would be my biggest concern with it. But I do, my gut is telling me that it will be him that comes out.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think he would be the one that would come out if everybody else is fine. But I think, you know, I think you're right. The last few weeks, couple of weeks, really, he's looked like he's back to almost the form that we saw at the start of the season. He looks a bit more confident, I think, on the ball and off the ball. So I think if he does come out of the team, I don't know whether it's a question of what would it do to him, because he's still such an important player for Villa. But I think he will feel very hard done by, I would suspect, if he is dropped.
Actually, we're talking about the team like that's the only selection dilemma. I guess, you know, Carlos was brilliant against Arsenal and hasn't started a game since. Do you think he goes back to... I thought Conser and Torres was perfect against Bournemouth. I'd be loath to change a team full stop in some ways. I thought that was such a good performance against Bournemouth last week. Even the two in midfield, Tielemans and McGinn, I mean, I've said it on various shows this week, they were absolutely superb in the middle of the park. So, in a way, I'm loath to disrupt that. And part of me thinks, do you just leave Luiz on the bench and bring him on? But then he's such a good player and you feel so important that, you know, you probably don't do that. But that team was so good last week. You don't want to break up those things that work so well against Bournemouth, because there's no doubting that was the best performance at home of 2024.
And probably 3-4 months ago, I think we would have been talking about it being Luiz and McGinn as the two central midfielders. But the fact that Youri Tielemans has been so good in that position, it feels like you can't almost move him from that at the moment. And, you know, from Tielemans' point of view, he has made himself indispensable pretty much in a number of positions, whether that's been in playing wide left, whether that's been off Ollie Watkins, or whether he plays in central midfield. And I wasn't totally expecting Tielemans to play so much and so well in the central positions, simply because Unai Emery had said previously about the balance between his two central midfielders and the fact that he wanted a stopper in there, and whether, you know, Youri Tielemans or Douglas Luiz were able to fulfill that role, and the other player alongside them was able to do the business going forward. So I wondered whether he would actually be a regular feature in the centre of midfield alongside someone like Douglas Luiz. But the fact he's played so well, you know, I think he's been excellent. Now you're talking about him playing and starting in central midfield, and John McGinn is the one that's moving. So testament to Tielemans, really. He's been absolutely fantastic. And then when you come to things at the back, I would probably suspect he'll keep it the same, and it'd be Konsa and Torres at the back.
We've moved away from kind of the three at the back build-up, haven't we, in recent weeks? Because Cash wasn't tucking in against Bournemouth at all.
No, he wasn't. But I think it'll be one of those where it's horses for courses, isn't it? If he decides that's the way that he wants to do, he knows that Cash is capable of fulfilling that role. You know, it's obviously going to be Luka Dean on that side, on the left-hand side.
Yeah, Moreno's out.
And then the thing with Chelsea is I don't think they are that physically imposing in the forward positions. You feel like Nicholas Jackson could be controlled by Pau and Konsa, and then
maybe that's why you'd want Konsa in the middle, because of Jackson's pace. Because I don't, you know, he's not the finished article Jackson at all, and in some ways I'm not having him at all, but there's that one thing he does have is that explosive pace.
Yeah, it does. And then you would think that Mudryk would start on the left-hand side, and therefore maybe then there is a case for, because Mudryk is absolutely electric as well. So maybe he would think then, well, okay, well, let's put Konsa out there, but then Cash isn't slow. So, no. You know, I think it's a dilemma, but my hunch would be that he'll keep it the same against Chelsea.
Yeah, just on Tielemans quickly. I mean, I've been talking about him a lot recently. He's fast turning into one of my favourite players. Tielemans, a player I've always liked in the Premier League for Leicester, and I was absolutely buzzing when we signed him, and it was kind of a dream signing a few years ago that felt very much pie in the sky, but obviously we've got him in now. I think in games where you want to play on the front foot, and I think home to Chelsea now, that is what Villa want to do. I think him playing in the midfield role helps us and enables us to be a bit more front-footed, because he moves the ball really well. He's capable of playing those one-touch passes and getting us driving forward a bit quicker. So I think actually it helps with things like that if Tielemans plays in that position. And actually McGinn is better at crashing the box alongside Watkins as well. You can imagine as well a world where Rodgers comes in to form the box, and it's kind of interchangeable between him and McGinn. McGinn's such an intelligent footballer nowadays as well, that when someone else comes in and takes up a position, he's switched on and aware enough of where to drop in case it breaks down, and he sits in defensively and changes his position. So I just love Tielemans in that deep midfield, and like you say, he's made himself undroppable in recent weeks. The bad news for us is that Cole Palmer's back. Cole Palmer FC, they will become again this Saturday. Obviously, I was hoping he would be out, because he's a fantastic footballer. And, you know, over the last 2 years, you know, we've probably spent as much time as anyone on TV talking about Chelsea signing footballers, because that's what they seem to do. Palmer's been the only one really in that 2 year period that you can quantify as 100% hand on heart. You would say he's been a successful signing for Chelsea. Wouldn't really say that about anyone else. I don't think. We think he'll play number 10 because Enzo's out. So we think it'll be Gallagher and Caicedo in the midfield. And then Palmer will play as a 10, Mudryk left and Madueke on the right. Probably, I think his best games, I'm sorry, his record is better playing as a number 10 than playing wide right. I think I'm right in saying that. I could be completely wrong. But, you know, it's a blow for us that he's in the team.
Yeah, it seems astonishing to me that we're talking about Cole Palmer FC and him being so important to Chelsea when they have signed so many players over the last 18 months. You know, it's almost a ridiculous amount of money spent, a ridiculous number of players signed. And then you can only really look at Cole Palmer as being a major success this year. And the fact that, you know, he missed the Arsenal game, and that means they're missing a third of their Premier League goals this season. And, you know, they just looked so poor and such a lack of cutting edge against Arsenal in that final third. It was really concerning, I would say, for Chelsea supporters, that performance against Arsenal in midweek. So, yeah, I think it will be Cole Palmer coming in as a number 10, Madueke on the right and Mudryk on the left-hand side. I mean, you've got to say, I mean, Cole Palmer's record is lifted by penalties, but I think he has been, you know, a real standout in a proper, you know, forgettable, mediocre season for Chelsea. And, you know, I think he'll be certainly in the conversation, if not almost guaranteeing himself to be on the plane for the Euros, Cole Palmer, simply because...
Especially now he's 26.
Yeah, simply because he's been so good. So, yeah, you know, he's the one that Mauricio Pochettino can rely on, and Pochettino is unable to rely on the majority of his players for a consistent performance, but he is able to rely on Cole Palmer, and that means that he has to play.
I would say this is the PFA derby this weekend, though.
Because what, Watkins versus Palmer?
I think he's the PFA player of the year. I think, honestly, the more I think about it, the more I think Watkins should win that award. And then Palmer, I think, will win the PFA young player of the year. So, I mean, I'm saying I think Watkins should win it. He probably won't. It'll probably be Foden or Declan Rice, I would think. Watkins has got to be in the PFA 11. Surely he's not going to miss out on the 11.
No, not even...
I wouldn't be 100% sure of that.
Come on. Not even the most biased...
We're relying on the players here. We're relying on the footballers to make the decision.
Yeah. But even they know, surely. They know a record and the impact when they see it, when they play against these players. No,
I feel like footballers might just go for Haaland for some reason. The England boys might go for Watkins, which might help the English.
Yeah. But then you might have things where players don't want to vote for, you know, Man United players aren't going to vote for Man City. I feel like we're quite a likable club. You know, we're easy to vote for, if you see what I mean. Not just because we're very good.
Yeah, I guess so. But because fourth in the league, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fourth in the league. Watkins' record, I mean, brilliant last time out against Bournemouth. 2 assists, no goals this time round. But I think that takes him up to 19 goals and 12 assists, obviously, as we know. No penalties in there. That record is just absolutely incredible. What a centre-forward we have.
Running out of words. The game against Bournemouth, he was... unbelievable, outstanding, absolutely unplayable. Ollie Watkins was, you know, I struggled to have seen a better performance from a centre forward or a traditional number nine this season.
Does it all now as well? Doesn't he even drops in deep? There was a great article in The Athletic midweek about him, how he drops deep sometimes as well now, and how that his game's improved around that, and that frees up other players to make really, really clever runs. He did that really well against Bournemouth, and he's been doing it well for a long time now, let's face it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he, I mean, we've said before, you know, he can do everything. He can do everything. Hold it up, run in behind, you know, stretch the play in the channels, and then the finishing, heading. He can do everything. He can do absolutely everything. And, you know, it's one of those times where you've just got to appreciate having him in your team. And, you know, there will come a time eventually when he's not an Aston Villa player. And I think we just need to remember. It's not going to come anytime soon, I wouldn't think.
Get the spicy takes to yourself.
But it's one of those where we'll look back and go, what a player he was for Aston Villa. And you've just got to appreciate it while he's here, because he plays every week. You know, there's not one performance where you can turn around and go, he's not giving everything this today. He gives absolutely everything every time he puts the shirt on. And he is a consistent performer for Villa in particular this season.
Yeah, I've spoken previously that, like, I've got my Villa 11 in my head of all time, and I never put anyone in it I haven't, in fairness, in recent years, I haven't had to put too many people in it because there hasn't been too many people to put in my all-time Villa 11 because nobody's done well enough. But I'll only put them in when they leave. So at the moment, Watkins isn't in my all-time Villa 11. But I know that when he leaves, he's going to be replacing Christian Benteke in my 11. And I love Christian Benteke. But Watkins is going in. Martinez even might go in for Bosnich. You know, I've got these rules in my head. I don't know why I've got these rules in my head, because it's not... No one says you have to do it that way. That's that, that's just the way I do it. But I'm wondering, at the end of like certain players that are in our team, I wonder how many from this group will make it into the team. Because you know, I think I was watching us last week against Bournemouth. I was sitting here thinking, I am enjoying this so much. We are so good. This is so entertaining, so great to watch. And it's my team. I've watched so many Premier League games over the years of other teams and sat there and thought, oh, this team's brilliant. I'm here, I'm at Villa Park watching my own team and thinking, this is just sensational. And that's, you know, that's that. I know we've had up and down time a little bit in 2024, but by and large, you know, the whole season has been full of ups. We are just brilliant.
And how often, as you say, how often have we been able to say that over our lifetimes? There's only kind of three, maybe four times really that I can remember where I've been able to confidently say that I love watching them and they're a joy to watch. And
I haven't felt like this since I was watching Brian Little or John Gregory's teams. Like this is but football was different then, but I don't think they were as good a footballing team. They were like solid defensively, those teams, and they made the most of what they had and had some really likeable players. But this team is a pure footballing team. And the fact that most of these players were playing under Gerrard, which was some of the worst football I've ever watched, it's just incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that almost lifts the opinion probably outside of Villa fan of the Villa fan base. It lifts the opinion of what Emery has done simply because, you know, the players that are there now had been playing under the previous manager, and the uplift in performance has been staggering really for those on the outside and really for supporters on the inside as well, watching that team every week. And I would expect a response from Chelsea on Saturday night, but
I'm not sure they've got it in them. I'm really not.
I agree. I'm not sure they're quite, well, they're definitely not at Aston Villa's level, but are they at the level to be able to live with this Aston Villa team at the moment? And given the evidence that we've seen, they did beat us in the cup. And, you know, that was one of our poorest performances, I would say. They were good. I really liked Madueke in that game. And I think Chelsea's players do well when they've got kind of space to run into. That's what I think they got wrong really against Arsenal. I don't think the team selection was quite right, because they were trying to build up from the back, and when you're playing into the feet of Jackson, Mudrick and Madueke, that's really not their game. They need the balls in behind to run onto, and they need space to run into. And I think that's what they did against Villa in the FA Cup. I thought Madueke was excellent running into space, and he's got such a, you know, a large frame that he's quite difficult to stop once he gets going. So I think he's one to watch out for.
He was their best player against us, I thought, in that game. Yeah. I was impressed by him.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going back to what we were talking about Ollie Watkins. I don't know who Chelsea are going to play at centre-back, simply because, I mean, they've obviously got injuries, but also he's chopped and changed so much that, you know, he started Di Sassi and Badiashile against Arsenal, and then in the cup it was Shalabar and Silva, and the previous game it was Shalabar and Silva, and then it was back to Badiashile and Di Sassi. I don't think he knows what his best back four is or his best central defensive partnership, that's for sure. So, you know, I would expect it probably to go back to Shalabar and Silva, simply because the two at the back against Arsenal were so bad, it was ridiculous. But I'm backing Ollie Watkins to do a job on both of those. He can occupy both of them. He can pin both of them for, you know, for the majority of the game and open up space for other people. So I don't think this Chelsea team can live with Villa at the moment. They've got some quality players and Villa have to be wary. But simply the last couple of weeks, it's been fantastic for Villa. And if they produce that kind of performance again, I think there's only one winner.
Who will play right back for Chelsea, do you think?
Yeah, no, tough no one. No, so Gusto's out. I mean, the option would be to switch Shalabar out to right back, and I think that is certainly one to think about, and then play Silva or Silva and Di Sassi. I think Di Sassi's slightly better than Badiashile at the moment. You know, they play Gilchrist at right back, and I'm just not sure about Gilchrist. That he was left exposed against Arsenal horribly, particularly I think for the first goal. when I think it was De Sassi who should have shuffled across to help him, and he was basically exposed for the majority of the game. But I think on the whole, I'm not too sure the level of Gilchrist as a Chelsea footballer.
That's probably
quite harsh of me.
No, I agree. You know what I think happens? I think Ten Hag's doing this at Manchester United. I actually don't think anyone could do a better job than Pochettino. I think it's a basket case club, and I think anyone would struggle. But Ten Hag's doing this at Manchester United as well. I think with Gilchrist, I feel like Pochettino's doing it a little bit as well, where they think they're under a little bit of pressure, potentially might lose their job. If you throw some kids in, it's kind of saying, well, look, I'm trying to blood some kids in. I'm trying to blood some youngsters here. Ten Hag is 100% trying to save himself by doing that. I see straight through it. No, that's not true. But yeah, I think there's a touch of that with Gilchrist, because when I watch him, yes, he's got the passion, which the Chelsea fans all love, but I don't think he's ready. But I feel he's been put in because so they can turn around and say, well, look, we're building, we're bloody youngsters, we've got all these young players, someone from the academy's come in. I think managers do that a little bit when they're under pressure, and there's probably other examples in the past as well.
Yeah, maybe I've slightly sounded like I was trying to kill his career, but you probably worded it slightly better than me, saying he doesn't look ready. That would
rule,
probably
100%
be,
rule.
Yeah, and I just think when he gets the ball in kind of tight areas, he's not quite shown that level yet that he can be a consistent Premier League player. But he's he's young and he's got a lot of time on his hands. But you're right, I think he is kind of someone that Pochettino knows that the Chelsea fans are going to get behind every week. And you can't say that about a lot of the Chelsea players. And you know he's going to give you 100% and a 10 out of 10 effort performance every week. And you can't say that about some of those Chelsea players over the season. So I think there's probably something in what you're saying there about Pochettino using that as a look at how many injuries I've got, I'm having to play the youngsters, and B, who have you brought me here? Who are these players when I'm having to play the kids again? So I think it's two sides to that.
I think Bruce did it a little bit. He was coming under a little bit of pressure and he played Keenan Davis. Like, managers definitely do that kind of thing. I've seen it before. On Chelsea, just quickly before we go, you know, these guys are talented footballers, but it's not all amalgamating together, and Pochettino hasn't managed to mould a successful football team out of them. And, you know, I think it's hard because they're all young. They're all new. You know, Chelsea in the past have been built on having leaders, warriors, players that are established and then integrating new players whilst those players are still there. There's just no leadership or no consistency on the pitch for Chelsea at the moment. But I think there's good players there, shown by the fact, you know, they beat us in the cup and they've done well in both cups this season, got far, because I feel like there's less pressure in cup games. It's more of like a free hit than playing in the league, less pressure on them, and they've come alive in those cup games. I think individually they do have some good players. Like, Enzo was getting slated the other night. I think if you put Enzo in Arsenal's team, he's probably a good player. You put Mudrick in Arsenal's team, he's probably a good player. You know, I think it's the environment, and I think players sometimes are a product of their environment, and that Chelsea environment, there's something severely wrong. I was listening to the radio earlier and it was Hawksby and Jacobs, and they said, well, Todd Bowley's managed to ruin Chelsea. And actually, if you watched Brighton last night as well, he managed to ruin Brighton. So fair play to him. He's ruined two football clubs there. And I thought, actually, that there's probably something in that. It's probably true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Brighton's slightly different.
I thought there was like something behind what he wanted
to say. I see what he's trying to say. I see his sentiment, given the fact that Chelsea have taken not only managers, you know, sporting directors, players, everything from Brighton, and they've obviously not had a great season. And I was thinking, you know, how do Chelsea fix this? How do they? Can they? Do they buy more players? Probably not. You can't really buy more players. You're going to have to sell some, in particular by June the 30th, in order to comply, or try and at least to look like you're trying to comply with PSR. So, if you're going to start next season with the players you've already got, I think what you're kind of hoping for is that the fact that this year is a real development year for these players, and they'll be much better for this experience this year, and they'll show a greater level. There will be a natural improvement because so many of those players are young and so many are so inexperienced in the Premier League, that next season, I think there will be a natural uptick in performance levels from them. Will it be enough to get them towards the top four? I'm not so sure. I think they will need, you know, if Thiago Silva leaves, they'll need an injection of experience and quality, probably defensively. Will they have the finances to do that? Not so sure. They're going to want to spend money. But I think, you know, they'll be getting back in Nkunku, and he's going to be great. Hopefully, if he can stay fit. And yes, they have had a lot of injuries. So if they can get, you know, Reece James back, you know, he's absolute quality. So they've got quality players there. They've just had so many people on the treatment room, and the players that have played haven't really looked like this year anyway. They might do next year, but this year they haven't looked like they're going to be at the required level to take Chelsea back to the Champions League.
I think that would do us, Dave. It's been a 28-minute preview, and I think that probably all people want to hear from us. I think anything longer than half an hour for a preview is probably a little bit too long, but hopefully the people that are watching enjoy it. We've got some exciting news, haven't we, Dave, that we're going out in a few weeks. That's exciting.
Yes, is that confirmed now, yeah?
Well, I think so. I haven't actually checked, but we've got no plans as far as I'm concerned, so I'm booking it in.
We'll be
going out, aren't we? But yeah, I've been trying to get you to come back to Birmingham and do something for a long, long time now. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited.
This is big scenes. Match preview live from the pub or the restaurant maybe in a few weeks' time. Yeah. Who knows? Let's see. Yeah. Let's see what happens. Yeah, I'm very, very excited with that news when you dropped me the text earlier in the week. I think I had to ask.
I can't remember.
I think I texted you saying, are you ever coming back to Birmingham? And then you gave me some data.
Yes. Do you know what? It was perfect timing from you as well. Yeah, it was.
It makes me wonder, if I'd not sent that text, would you have just come back and not told me?
Absolutely not. No. We've got plenty to talk about, including Maths Australia.
Oh, my God. What a show. Sound like Collins from Maths Australia. What a day.
What a day.
If anyone is watching, like, I hate reality TV. I never, ever watch it. But I tell you what, Married at First Sight Australia, I am addicted to it. I don't know what I'm going to do next week when it finishes. I actually don't know what I'm going to do. I follow them all on Instagram now. Like,
yeah. Oh, you're all in.
Who's your favourite? I mean, this is going to be rubbish content even if people don't watch it.
Who's my favourite?
Collins was my favourite, but he didn't last very long.
I mean, yeah, Collins was. I mean, I do like Tim just because he's full ag, and I quite like that.
I'm a big Ridge fan, I am.
Are you?
Ridge. Deece.
Let's end it there.
Let's hope we have a Deece evening at Villa Park on tomorrow night. Okay, forget it, it's tomorrow here. Tomorrow night at Villa Park. Right, that does us for the match preview. Apologies for the Maths Australia chat at the end there. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. If you are enjoying the content, then please do all the things that I go on about every single week that help us. Leave us some iTunes podcast reviews, please. That's where I'd like to see us make some progress. And give us a like on YouTube as well if you've enjoyed the content. I mean, if it goes out, it's a miracle nowadays, or if it doesn't cut off. Usually something goes wrong. So if this goes out, absolute miracle. But it has gone out. Hopefully enjoy us. Give us a like on the YouTube video if you feel sorry for Adam Bates. Although I don't know whether I should have said that, because that probably means no one probably feels sorry for him. We probably won't get any likes, but I've said it now. So yeah, let's do that. I'm at Villa Park, of course, tomorrow. So if you see me there, come and say hello. Enjoy your Friday night and enjoy your kind of Saturday free, actually, until about 6 o'clock when you have to leave to go to the Villa. Good luck with your babysitting duties, Dave, and up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.